Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is the last day of the month. It is Thursday, November 30th, 2017. It's going to be December 1st tomorrow, you guys. A lot coming in this next month. It's a great month and it's a crazy month. It seems like a lot of stuff happens at the end of the year. And just wish everyone well, all the people that feel lonely, all the people that feel left out. If we can go out of our way and just make it special for a few more people, find a way to do it. It really is worth it. It's so hard. I have to tell you a funny story about yesterday. I was walking, and I live like in a small town, but urban area. And so I was walking, and there was a homeless person sleeping but awake, laying down but awake. And I see her around, and I was just walking, and I had like $5 cash on me. And when I can, I try to give them money because I know, you know, there's a lot of places to eat and they can get food. So I thought, you know, well, I don't have a few singles or whatever. I'll give her $5. So to me, that's a lot of money because, you know, I'm not walking around with a ton of it myself. So either way, I go to give her the money. And I'm like all happy about it, happy about myself, happy for her. And she looks at me. And she says, I need 10. And I said, I'm sorry, that's all I have. And she said, but a burrito is $10. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought a burrito, a tortilla with rice and beans in it, is $10. She's right. I mean, there's like a Chipotle right around the corner. And I told her, I'm so sorry, you'll have to get the rest from someone else. That's all I have. But I was thinking how funny, I was like negotiating the cost of a burrito. And I just thought, you know, I walked away and I go, you know, life, it, you know, God, you just make life funny. And thank you for the laugh and the smile. And we both looked at each other and it was just something. And it just breaks my heart that anybody on earth has to be homeless. And, you know, I know there's only so much in each one of our power, but it just kills me every time. I will never get used to a world that doesn't allow for everyone in it to have food. I don't get it. But it's set up this way right now, but it just can't be forever. So that's one of my dreams, my daydreams. But I have three dreams for today, so I got to get rolling. I'm going to start with a dream from Frances Robinson. And it's from one of her friends. So here's for Dream Theme Thursday. Hi, Nadia. My friend Ellie sent me another dream and gave permission to read it on the show if there's time. Here's a dream for you. We were still living on our old street. Someone I didn't know was living in the house next door and had wonderful flowers all outside and across the street. A cute skunk was scampering amidst the flowers. My dad lent me his glasses. The left side of the glasses had a narrow frame, while the other side of the frame was really large and round. My younger sister and I needed a ride, but my dad left early, and my mom said he had a flat tire to be fixed before he went to a meeting in the city you live in. Then we were in Argentina. I have never had a desire to visit that country. I wanted to shop and buy cookies from a bakery, no surprise there, and my sister was annoying me. It took place where I grew up, but I was still working at the casino where I live now. Thanks so much. So I have to tell you, this entire dream is like two sides of a coin the whole time. Really look at this. You live outside, you're next door to somewhere where you've lived all of your life on your own street, but you don't know your neighbor. Then there's a bunch of flowers, but there's a skunk in them. Then you get your dad's glasses, and one side is different from the other. Then you're with your sister, and your dad leaves. You guys needed a ride, and your dad leaves early to work, but then he gets a flat tire. So you're early, but you have a flat tire. And then you fix it. And then you're in a country you're not really crazy about, but you're getting a cookie. And your sister's bothering you, but she's your sister and you love her. And it all took place where you grew up and where you live now, but yet you were in another country. There's like two things going on to every single thing you're talking about. And what that's telling me is that you have a decision to make in your life and you're scared to make it. It's either to you going to be really good or really bad. Or not like bad, but have a bunch of hiccups behind it. And somehow you're trying to make that decision or trying to make that decision work instead of the one you know you should make. You want the flowers without the skunk. You want the car without the flat tire. You want the cookies without having to go to Argentina for it. You basically want to stay where you're at, but you're also wanting to change something. But you're scared of the change. So you have to ask yourself, what is it that you are hesitant to look at or be scared to have because it might be just too perfect, too great? And I say this because I talk to so many people a day. It's amazing. And at the end of the day, I always ask God, I hope I did right by everyone I've spoken to. I know everything's on its own timeline. I know there's certain things that take longer than others. I've learned not to rush God. God doesn't get rushed, but I try to rush anyway. And I don't do that anymore. But I do know this, that when you have a dream that's like the flip side of a coin all over the place, it's like you're flipping a coin to make this decision, and you need to be more involved in the decision you're making. Because somehow, it's like in your dream, you don't know if you're going to be happy if you get what you want, because there might be this that goes wrong, or there might be that that goes wrong, or I might find myself in the wrong place. And then even people close to you start to annoy you when you don't make the best decisions for you. But whatever decision you're going to make, make sure it's your instinctive decision, the one that you know you should make. You don't have to convince yourself. And it took you back to your old street. Really think about that. Because it took you back to your old self, the person that was more sure about what you would do. Because when we're little and we want to go out and play, we go out and play. Whether there's a skunk there, whether there's anything, rain or shine, we go out. We don't stop to think about it. You're thinking too much. You're putting in a lot of energy. And you already know what to do, but you're scared. So you're like, well, but this could go wrong, and then that could go wrong, and then this could go wrong. And try to think about what can go right and make that decision based on what could go right. You know, there's always that worst case scenario. Well, of course, a skunk could go into a garden. Of course, a rabbit can eat part of your garden. Of course. You know, something could happen that might upset you, or you might get a flat tire. But whatever the challenge is, it will not take away from making the best decision for yourself. And don't be scared of it. We get scared of great decisions. There's this thing that happens that we do. And I don't know why we do it and why we choose it. And when I figure it out, I'll share it with you. But a lot of times, you may know something is the best decision. Because we're not used to getting what we want, mentally, and we don't believe at times we even deserve what we want, what we do is we settle. We settle to spin and spin and spin laterally. No matter what comes our way, it's still better for us mentally than getting what we want. And then when we do spin and spin and spin, we have a lot more friends because we have a lot more to complain about. But what we're really complaining about is that we didn't do what we wanted. That is huge. And whatever it is you want to do and you're scared to do it, you're trying to poke holes into your own argument. Your dream started with you on the old street, and it ended with where you live now. So all that thinking in between is just telling you you're already okay. But do what you know is right. You'll still find what you want. You'll still find cookies in Argentina, and you'll still find them where you live, and you'll still find them on your old street. You just have to look. Just have to not be scared. I like the part about Argentina the best, because even though you had no desire to visit that country, you found a bakery. Even reading that, I was like, ah, see, things aren't so different everywhere. And things aren't so crazy for you to actually make a decision that you really want to make. Stop putting things in the way. Get the skunk out of the flowers. Fix the flat tire. If your sister annoys you, know that you're just annoying yourself and she's bothering you because you're already annoyed. And enjoy where you live now. Enjoy the decisions you make. Because where you live now is indecision. But once you make a decision, make it and stand by it. Don't waver back and forth. So I hope, Ellie, that that answers your question. I want to know what decision you can't make. But anyway, maybe Francis will tell us, but that's a very interesting dream, and I hope that helped you out. So now I have another dream by Susan, and it's actually called Another Dream. Let me see what Francis wrote in the chat. Thank you, Nadia. I know she'll get a lot out of your interpretation. I hope so, because it's so much fun to do these. So now this one is Susan's. I dreamt of watching a mountaintop falling from a neighboring mountain ridge. I saw a red line on the mountain outlining the falling zone just before the tremor started and an earthquake took down the top all the way into the valley. Wow. I watched a lot of people die in the sliding rock. I was so sorry for them. Then the tremor reached the mountain ridge I was on. I knew that all I had to do to save myself from falling down together with the mountaintop was just taking a step back, which is what I did. And I felt the sliding rock underneath my feet. I fell onto the solid rock and sat on my behind, watching the sliding rock stop right at my feet. Then I went into a building on the mountain ridge where my mother and my grandmother were waiting in safety, and I told them about my experiences at the cozy coffee table. So curious, in case you have time. Pay attention to the fact that every time you question your decisions, you actually know what to do. You know what to do. You can see when there's discord coming, when things aren't falling into place, and you actually know what to do. There's a confidence in this dream. It's a pure confidence. Because I know, you know, like being through earthquakes, let's say here in California, I remember feeling my first earthquake, and it like was crazy to me that the earth could shake. It's a weirdest feeling to feel it. It's actually kind of cool. But I remember when I first moved here, and I think within the second year that I lived in California, I had an emergency surgery. I didn't wake up one morning. I went into shock, and it turned out I had a cyst on my ovaries, and it ruptured in my sleep. So apparently I was bleeding inside, and whatever happened, I woke up in the hospital. And my mom was already here from Chicago, if you could imagine that. So I was probably by the end of the day. But all I remember dreaming about, forget the surgery, forget that my mom was there, forget all of that. All I remember was that I was having this crazy dream that there was an earthquake and I had no control of my surroundings. So how was I going to save myself? And I remember a brick building, which they don't have many of here in California, but in Chicago, they're all brick buildings. So the merging of cities was in my dream. But I was in a brick building knowing the brick building would crumble. And I found a way out in my dream. Like, I'll never forget seeing the staircase and getting out. But I also knew that I felt so victorious from that dream that I had gotten to the point. One second. That was dying to happen. That I'd gotten to the point where I knew what to do in an earthquake. And I was never scared of an earthquake after that. It's not like I was, you know, emotionally traumatized from them. I was actually curious of them. But when you can see something coming and you know you'll be okay no matter what happens, which is what this dream is telling you, is where you know you've reached a point where you need to be in your life to continue to do what you're doing. I've been hitting that, but it accelerated in the week I took off. I can't tell you how much I needed that week. And I would never have taken off like that had I not felt that desperation. But I didn't even know I was that desperate. But I was starting to not even remember my dreams. I was tired. I was tired of worrying about whatever. And I knew that whatever I needed to do, it was right there. And all I had to do was be present for it. And sure enough, I'm rolling right now with that energy. And this dream is giving you that energy. It's telling you, hey, you know what? You have foresight. Pay attention to your foresight. I see Eliana made it to the chat. Wow, so cool to see your name in the chat, Eliana. So we have Eliana and Francis and our guests. But it's so cool. I love it. I love it. And I think you say in case there, so maybe you have a dream you could put out there. And I'm going to read the next dream while you do that if you're going to do that. So I have another dream, and it is, I think, anonymous. I dreamt that Gordon Ramsay, the famous chef, made me do stuff. He instructed us, several people, and half couldn't explain it because it seems illogical with a waking mind. But I do remember there was a black guy, and I had to do something with a pullover for him, or the wool thereof, but I got it wrong, and Gordon Ramsay told me off, / set me straight in his intense way, and because I was too slow, the guy got there first, so I couldn't do the wool thing right away, and he wasn't satisfied with the outcome nor his pullover. I don't know if I understand that dream. I dreamt that Gordon Ramsay, the famous chef, made me do stuff. He instructed us, several people. Okay, so he's telling the group what to do, and you only remember half of this, and it seems illogical with the way, but I remember that there was a guy, and I had to do something with a pullover for him, or the wool thereof, but I got it wrong. Okay, so really what... This is a funny one, because it's about being reprimanded. You're always scared of getting in trouble. You don't know the difference between right and wrong in your own mind, so you feel that whatever you do, you're going to get in trouble for. And that's funny because today I posted that whatever you do most, you do best. So do what you do most because you do it best. But what do you do most? And if you're having a dream about getting in trouble, especially by someone bigger than life, someone you don't know that, you know, you see through a TV or you see through print ads or whatever it is, however you see them, it's like you can't get it right with the people in front of you and you can't get it right with the other people, and people, you know, tell you off, and it's because you're not with it. But this is just telling you to know your audience. I just posted this today. You know, if what you do when you're doing your best and it's not good enough for where you're at, find where you are good enough, because we all know how much energy it takes to do our best and how much great energy and positive thinking it takes for us to do our best. So you just need to find the right place for you. There are many places, you know, when you say I was too slow, there's many places where they need people who are patient and slow. And there's many places where they need people who work under pressure and love that and thrive in that. So find your tribe is basically what this dream is telling you. The second one is, I dreamed that a policeman stopped me because I was talking to a little girl near a bus stop, and he accused me of being a pedophile. Oh, wow. I said that I wasn't, but he could keep telling me this. Then I took her up into my arms and even kissed the little girl's cheek to show how much I love kids. And if you like someone, then you don't hurt them. There was purple lipstick left on her cheek. I thought he'd realize that I could never do something like that. But he said, see, you even kissed her and even left. Oh, wow. Okay. Like that proved it's true. And nobody who wasn't a pedophile would leave a purple lipstick mark behind the child's cheek. And then even though I ignored him, I stopped worrying whether he wasn't right somehow. But he wasn't listening, so I left. I went to another bus stop and ran for the bus as I realized that I could take that just as well. And then I saw a pair of hippie tourists, man and woman, who seemed friendly and there was a connection. And we both ran for the bus and caught it. Oftentimes I don't even run because I might miss it anyways. By this time I caught it. This is actually an extension of dream one, find your tribe. Then you go to a bus stop and, you know, you're getting accused of something yet again you didn't do, but another authority figure, another person telling you that you did something wrong. And then after you did something wrong, you know, you were going to get in trouble, but you actually didn't. You just had to go. Just like I said, find your tribe. You found your tribe and you actually ran and you made it. So you need to find out where you belong. You probably already know, but you might not somehow conquer it or face it or go to it. But wherever you fit, enjoy your time there, because you're finding places you don't fit, which help you find out where you do fit. If you're not sure, just gauge it by how comfortable you feel, how good you feel. Do you feel motivated to be stronger, better, do more? Pay attention to where you're at in your life, because you've had two dreams of situations where, you know, you're being reprimanded in some way for your behavior. And you don't need to do that if you just find the right place, like with the hippies or catching the bus and usually not running, but you ran and you made it. So you just need to run in the other direction in some of the places you are in your life. So just take a short inventory of everywhere you are in your life at this time and see where you feel like you don't belong, where you're always getting in trouble or misunderstood. So I hope that helps you, Miss Anonymous. And I'm going on to a dream from Eliana in the chat. In case there's time for an extra dream, I was in my big apartment in an area I used to live in, the East Village. I was reading a magazine, and I wanted to save it and finish it later. I wrap it with a few things and place it in my cabinet. A man at the door, homeless, enters and begins to look for something. He opens the cabinet and takes my magazine. I tell him to get out, and the guy wants to keep looking. I grab his collar and bring him to the door, and I'm up on the third floor. It was my son's other parents' home in San Francisco. I threw the guy down and I threw him to the other side of the street in the middle of a crowd. Everyone was amazing how far I threw him, but I was concerned if he was fine. Someone tries to move the guy, and he begins to move. I walk down, and the man is gone. I run back home, LOL says, and someone says, nice ass, LOL. That's it. All right. This dream, believe it or not, is telling you that the boogeyman is under your control. You can handle whatever's coming your way. This, just you knowing that someone was in your place that didn't belong there, being empowered enough to take on the guy from the third floor and get him out of your building and as far away from you as you could. And your only concern was you wanted to make sure he was okay, but you knew you needed to get him away. Again, like Susan's dream, she foresaw. But yours was the stuff, the ill will came to your door. And you're going to be okay. You're going to be the one coming out ahead in whatever conflicts you have. And there's a couple of reasons. One of them is your intentions. You're in your home. So if someone comes into your home, everyone's intention is to keep their home safe and keep people with ill will out. And this is telling you that only if someone comes in with ill will you protect yourself. You're tolerant of anything else except for ill will. So now you have someone who comes in and wants to take, you know, the magazine is honestly symbolic of your inner feelings, and you put those away and you hid them and he found them. It's like he found your vulnerability. And you said, oh, no, you don't own my vulnerability. I do. So get out of here. So you have a way. It's not protecting your physical surroundings. It's protecting what lives inside of you. Because what's in a magazine? And why do you have to wrap it up and hide it? So it's also saying that you don't need to hide your feelings. Your feelings were apparent by your actions to this man. That whatever you feel, speak on it. Speak on what your intentions are. Speak on the truth, and the truth will win. There's a post. I can't believe you guys. I posted these things before the show today. I woke up early enough to do that. And one of them was, the truth is funny. It doesn't give up no matter what we say. Because the truth is truth is truth. And a lot of times we try to walk all over the truth by using more words, more examples to convince somebody of our argument. But in truth, there is no argument with truth. And the truth is, this guy walked in, he tried to touch your vulnerability, you said no, you got him out, you succeeded. And you were physically stronger than a man, which somebody would say, but that was a guy. How did you get him out? How did you carry him out from the third floor? And you'll say, I just knew how to do that. And I did it. But you also know how to run what's inside of you. And that's a huge growth, huge dream when it comes to growing. Knowing yourself transfers into knowing your audience, gives you better eyes and ears to trust your gut in the future, starting today. Trust who you are, because you are right on point, right on point. If there's anything you say to yourself over and over and over again today is, you know what, I'm on point, I get it. And just leave it there. Don't say, except for, or wow, this happened. Don't take it away. I'm on point. Period. You guys, enjoy today. I love you so very much. I will see you tomorrow for Questions Friday. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.